Hour number two of 3D on this Tuesday morning. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you every day, 10 to 2, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, this is what I know. And boy, do I have one. And hopefully you will too. We'll have a great prize attached to it if you get involved with us at the bottom of the hour. But right now, we go way down south. I think he's on vacation. That's what I'm being told. I'll read whatever they put in front of me. It says Jim White's on vacation. Just like Anchorman.
He's with
TitansOnline.com. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope you guys are doing well.
Are you indeed on vacay?
I am in South Florida. I was on South Beach last night.
Oh, yeah.
But I was not really hanging out on South Beach. Kind of made the scene. We went to the Marlins Nationals game last night and then made the tour through South Beach on the way back and saw how the –
Well, Jimmy, you can't say that. You said it as if you were hanging out on South Beach at first.
I know.
Were you rolling in the Lambo?
I should have just ended it because it sounded a lot cooler. Than
yeah,
that.
Exactly, you just, man. You should have left it like that.
It. Radio is for the imagination.
Yeah, but I had to come clean. I didn't want anybody to get the wrong idea.
Did Pac let you borrow the orange Lambo?
I saw some Lambos down there, saw some nice cars, saw it's quite a scene. I've been to South Beach before, saw Gloria Estefan on South Beach one time back in the day, but it's definitely a different scene. It's a cool place. There's a Super Bowl on South Beach. I guess it's been 10 years ago maybe when the Bears played the Colts, and it's an interesting week, but it's a neat place to go to. And so I'm hanging out in South Florida this week, but I did want to get on and talk about the developments in Nashville with Eric Decker and the Titans moving forward. But good getaway here this week.
Smooth transition. Very nice. It's like you've done this before.
Oh, wait a pro.
Minute. Oh, wait a minute. You have. You have with us. You have with me. By the way, Bellinger, your boy, is on fire.
It's incredible.
Yeah, holy cow.
He was just supposed to be a stopgap for a couple of weeks when they had some injuries early in the season.
Yeah,
and now,
so much for that.
Yeah, there's no way that he'll ever go back to the minors unless it's on a rehab stint, because it's incredible how he's hitting home runs. Fastest 21 homers, I think, of any major league player. And when he gets his money's worth on him, too. He's got an incredible swing and hit two more last night. And we've got some good young talent in that organization with Bellinger and Seager and Puig starting to hit the ball a little bit more. So I like what my Dodgers are doing.
Yeah, Andy's giving the old Bud Adams salute to a lot of fans, too, on the road after home runs.
Yeah, that's what the old Puig, he let the double bird.
Double bird.
I think. Yeah.
Let me ask you, you're the perfect guy to ask. We've talked about this on the show, this run by the Predators. You've been in this town now. You understand the landscape of this town and how it's morphed into what we have today. And obviously things have changed, and I think this playoff run to the Stanley Cup final is forever going to change this market, especially for hockey. But I think it's going to have a carryover effect for other sports entities in this town. I want to know what you think about that. And I'm not saying that Eric Decker signing is a part of that, because we know his wife, what she's trying to do with her career, and it's involving country music. So I think they're already here. So Nashville was already very appealing to them. But what do you think, because of all the pub this city has received and what happened with the Stanley Cup final and 150,000 people on the streets and everybody just – I mean, this city is on fire, as you know. How much do you think that can help the Titans moving forward when it comes to free agency and other things?
Well, I mean, I think the Titans, I think were building that momentum last year. You know, they go from winning two games in 2014 to 3-15, and then last year they won 9 games, and they kind of bring the energy back to Nissan Stadium with, you know, beating the Packers and beating the Broncos and going on the road to beat Kansas City and Miami. I think the tide was turning as far as an enthusiasm standpoint, people getting on board with the Titans. I think what the Preds did just kind of added to that and took it to another level. I mean, it was incredible. And growing up in Nashville, and been here since I was a little kid. Went to grade school here and high school, and my parents still live here. And I've never seen any. I mean, the city's incredible. Just if you go down on Broadway and see the honky tonks and see how much is going on, not just on the weekends but during the weekday, and you look at all the cranes in the downtown and throughout the city that you know, where new construction's going up, the skyline looks different. There's so much going on, but then to see what the Preds did and to see the people in the streets and see people get excited, it just shows you how much energy is in the city. And I think that it certainly added another jolt to sports fans here, put Nashville even more on the map just as a sports town. And I think now the Titans, coming off a 9-1 season, that you got to keep the momentum going. I mean, this team is capable of being better than last year, and capable of putting together a special run, I think, like Derek's teams did, you know, from 99 to 2003. But you got to do it. You know, you got to stay healthy. You got to win close games, and you just got to keep the momentum going like they did last year.
And how cool would that be? Because the four of us have all been here from the beginning of professional sports in this town. And as we sit here in 2017, we've never had the perfect storm, right? The perfect storm being both professional franchises playing at a high clip and really, really good and playing playoffs together. You know, it's always been separate. When the Titans were on their run, when Derek was playing for them, you know, the Predators were the startup franchise, and it was taking time to build and grow. Then the Titans have their fall off, and now the Predators have come around, and they've been going to the playoffs every year, and we know what they just did this year. But what would it mean to have both worlds at a high clip together? I mean, this thing rolling down the mountain together with everything that just happened with the Predators, if the Titans could find a way to win a division, play January football, I mean, just when we think Nashville's not capable of a next level, I think we would see it.
Oh, it would be great. I mean, I'd love to see it. I mean, I think now you look at some of the best sports cities, and you have to look up at Boston where the Patriots keep winning, and certainly the Red Sox have had success. Now the Celtics have turned around. I mean, there's no doubt that's an incredible sports city, but and there are some great sports cities out there, but if the Preds can keep it going and the Titans can keep it going as well, I mean, you talk about when their seasons, when their seasons overlap, you know, starting in October, going through November, into January, I mean, it would be great, and certainly I hope it happens, but it's two different entities, certainly, and the Titans, you know, have got to figure out a way to win against some of these AFC South teams. They've got to stay healthy. But people are excited about this team, and people are on board. And I just got the sense that was changing about the time they added Marcus Mariota, and now it's just getting to the point where it's on the verge of getting special as long as some things fall into place.
We're talking with Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com, and you're right, Jim. This team has drummed up a lot of outside interest from the national media in regards to teams that are on the uptick. You know, what they did last year and them having their quarterback, and not just their quarterback, I think arguably one of the better young quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. Then the Titans chose to add another weapon for him. And we talked about this the other day with them signing Eric Decker to a one-year deal. And I think my only hesitancy, as I told the guys, the injury history. I know he hadn't been an injury bug guy, but when you have a rotator cuff, I'm not so much worried about the rotator cuff. It's the hip injury. And he sat on the market. And other teams, a guy that has put up numbers like he has, and still there were not a lot of teams calling. Do you think – I guess the Titans didn't worry too much about the injury, and they pretty much cleared him. If they wouldn't have cleared him, they wouldn't have signed him. So how much you think this will play into, you know, if how much he plays during the regular season, or what his role will be if indeed he does make the team? Do you think the injury is something that the Titans are not worried about at this point?
Well, I think they felt good about him. And he was, you know, I talked to Eric yesterday, and he told me that there was some interest in him. I mean, he didn't make visits. He said that when he, you know, the Jets said they were going to release him, and then they held on to him for a while and didn't actually put him on the market, I think, until last Monday, I think, is when he was officially placed on waivers. And then that's the point when he could start making visits. And he told me he made the visit to Nashville last Wednesday, met with John Robinson, met with Mike Mularkey, spent some time with some of the players, and felt really good about the direction things were going here. And he said, he told me this yesterday, he said he had five or six other teams that were interested in him, and he was supposed to start making visits this week, but decided not to do it because he felt like the situation here was, it couldn't be any better. You know, it's where he has a chance to potentially step in and play because of the setup at receiver. I mean, behind Rishard Matthews, there's a ton of potential with Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor and Tajay Sharp, but two of those guys are rookies. One of them's coming off of foot surgery. So there's a ton of potential here. He likes the quarterback and sees special things in Marcus Mariota. Really likes John Robinson, Mike Mularkey, kind of there's what they've built inside the team and the locker room. And he said from Nashville, haven't been a chance where his wife could work here and he could raise his kids here and keep them in school. He said just couldn't been a better situation. I kind of said, told him, I said, it sounds like a perfect storm just with everything, the way everything played out. And that's exactly what he said. He came back to me and said, yeah, he said it was kind of a perfect storm to make this thing happen. And he could have taken other visits. I did get the sense there was interest in him, but he was, he was not going to waste time and looking around to find a better situation because he thought he had it here in Tennessee.
Well, okay, here's the next question then, and you just alluded to it. Rishard Matthews, 60-some yards away from being a 1,000-yard receiver. We know if Marcus stays healthy, he probably reaches 1,000 yards. They hadn't had one since Kendall Wright. And then you have Tajay Sharp, who he started off strong, but as I knew, he would hit the rookie wall, and he hit the rookie wall. But they still have, I think there's still a ceiling for him to get better. Then you draft Corey Davis, 5. You draft Taywan Taylor. Essentially, he's your second-round pick because you didn't have a second-round pick. So with all of that being said, and obviously I know there will be some odd men out, but if Corey, to me, and this is only me, if Corey Davis is not day one starter, if Taywan Taylor is not playing a lot in a slot, then whoever evaluated those two guys did something wrong. Because as I told the guys yesterday, the receiver position is the easiest position to make that transition now because of the changes in the rules and what guys are able to do and what defensive backs can't do, the wide open offenses, it translates from college to the pros. So if ever there was a time where the receiver position was easier to play, meaning coming in and playing now, you got to go out there and produce. But I'm saying from a standpoint of making a transition from the NFL, from college to the NFL, this is the time. So if these two guys are not playing, in my mind, and I said this last year about Andre Johnson, if Andre's playing a lot, we have a problem. Ultimately, he chose to retire, but it would be the same in this situation because essentially you drafted two receivers with your first three picks.
Well, I mean, and those guys you mentioned have been great. I mean, and this isn't in reflection that those guys were stumbling through the offseason. I mean, Taywan Taylor was one of the stars of the offseason. I've been named, handful of guys, 6-8 guys who caught my eye throughout the offseason. Taywan Taylor would have been on that list. Corey Davis was limited early on. You know, they let him do more at the end. He was looking great. So those guys are on track. And without the Eric Decker signing, I think they would have been out there a ton. And they're still going to be out there a ton. But I think Eric Decker gives you insurance. And it's a one-year deal. I think he's going to play. I mean, and they're certainly going to count on him to play. But let's say you've got those guys that we mentioned without Eric Decker. You have one injury, and then you're scrambling a little bit. And there's not going to be anybody else out there of Eric Decker's caliber on the market that you can kind of get up to speed once the season starts. So I think it's a way the team's protecting itself. The team's certainly understanding that even though Taywan Taylor has looked great during the off season, it is difficult for a rookie to step in and be a star without having hiccups and bumps on the road. So now they've given Marcus Mariota another proven talent veteran that can help this team, and they've got a heck of a lot more depth, and they're better at 1 through 5 or 1 through 6 on that receiving core, however many they keep, with his presence. And he's going to help the young guys, mm-hmm. too. I mean, it's a young group. I mean, from Sharp, a second-year guy, to Davis and Taywan Taylor, rookies. Rashard Matthews obviously been around a while, but Decker's got a different personality. He's been around Peyton Manning, played in Super Bowls, certainly knows what it takes, and he's going to be a great presence in the room.
Now, with that being said, is this the year they make that transition from going away from who they truly are, and that is a run team? And I understand you, when you draft Mariota, eventually you have to allow him to take the reins and run the offense. But what they were doing last year worked. And if Marcus doesn't get hurt, I believe they get in the playoffs. So now is this them now kind of segueing into more of a passing attack? Because I seen it. I was a part of it. Eddie George, then we draft receivers, then all of a sudden we get Mike Heimerdinger, and we go from being a run-first team to a pass-first team.
Well, I think they'll just be better at doing the passing part of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can get away from who they are and from not letting DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry have a big part of the offense. But I think when they are going to throw it, I think they'll be more effective. And yeah, there will be times and games where teams stack the box and force them to throw it. And I think now they'll be in a better position to do that with success. You know, every game's different, and every team will approach the Titans a little bit differently. So I think there will be some games where they throw it around a little bit more, and I think with Decker and with some of these receivers, they'll be more successful when they do it.
Jim, I have one question. Why the one-year deal? Was there any part, because you hear this sometimes, and Derek uses the term betting on yourself. Was there betting on yourself with Eric Decker, thinking, I'll show people I can play and then I'll get the big contract next year? Or was that just simply his value? Was there that much question that nobody was willing to offer him more than 1 year?
Well, I think coming off a couple of injuries and certainly being as late as it is, I mean, none of these guys, he's not going to be able to be on the field until training camp starts. So I think a combination of those two certainly could have put him in a situation where he realized he wasn't going to get a big money deal somewhere else. He could have stayed on the market a little bit longer. As I mentioned earlier, he had 5 or 6 other teams that were interested in him. He was going to make some other visits. He potentially could have gotten a 2-3 year deal if he'd have stayed around. But a lot of times these guys will want to take a 1 year deal if they have a lot of success, prove that they're completely healthy. Then they can still, get another nice contract after that. He's 7 years in. I think he's proven when he's healthy that he can be very productive in the league. So there are probably a lot of factors that went into that, but I just think the timing of it, the fact he's come off injuries, the fact that he wanted to be in Tennessee probably contributed to that.
Jimmy, hope you have a fantastic time out there. Remember sunscreen. You'll need it.
Hang out on the beach, too.
Yeah, I learned that lesson when I was younger, paying for it.
Yeah, I did. The worst experience I ever had was Key West.
Hold on, did you say you're still paying for it?
Still?
Yeah, that's a heck of a burn. Whenever I have to go to the doctor, I have a slice cut off of my chest.
Oh, my goodness. Holy yeah, cow. Man. Yeah,
Fire Marshal Bill.
Exactly. You really did pay for it.
Goodness. Hey, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. We'll see you when you get back.
Okay, you guys have a good one.
All right. Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com. Check out his work. Does a great job. Of course, been covering the Titans for a long, long time. We'll come back with more, including This Is What I Know at the bottom of the hour.